go ahead. Well, I want to thank you, the church, for letting me do this again. And I'm so full, I don't know what to do. But I'd like for you to take the King James and turn with me to the third chapter of Genesis. That's a Clarence Sexton for you. He always said that. Well, not King James, but anyways. I liked it so much I thought I'd just go ahead and do that. But yes, the King James, that's it. Right. So we'll go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you once again, God, that you would use somebody like me. And God, you'd have me come before these people, God, and I pray that you would empty me of myself, God, all my unrighteousness, anything that I've forgot that's crumbs in the corner, God, I pray that you would please clean them out. God, I pray that you would please empty me of myself and fill me up with power that only you can give. God, may I preach that I'm filled with the Spirit, God. I pray you'd please bless this message that I know that you've given to me from you. Father, we love you and we thank you once again. Father, just thank you. Yeah. Father, in Jesus' name I pray and amen. Yeah, amen. In the third chapter, in the beginning of the third chapter of Genesis, the serpent has come to Eve and has lied to her and tricked her and beguiled her into eating of the forbidden fruit. And then Adam partakes in it. And then their eyes are open. They know good and evil. And they hide themselves. So that's the beginning of chapter 3. But in verse 8 it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Well, God knew where they was, but he come to the garden because he wanted to be with them and he wanted to have fellowship.
Yeah. Yeah.
God desires to have fellowship with us. Why, I do not know, other than he loves us. But I believe that if he loved us enough to suffer and die for us, that he loves us enough to have fellowship. He wants that. So, for God to come to the garden and ask, "Where art thou?" I mean, he's looking, he's desiring. He's looking for me and you. He wants our fellowship. And I want to preach just on fellowship. How's your fellowship with the Father? And I got 3 points, and I have no idea what to tell you to expect other than just hang on, because I don't know. But the first point is how to ruin your fellowship. And Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, just the first part of that, it says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. Thou canst not look on iniquity." So the first way to ruin your fellowship is to sin. That's a given, not complicated. It's just sin. When you have sin, immediately your fellowship is gone. He can't look upon you. That's why when he became our sin on the cross, God had to turn his back. He couldn't look upon it. Not only did he die for our sins and took our sins, but he became our sins. So thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil. So the number one way to ruin your fellowship is just sin.
Right.
And this is so simple tonight, don't miss it. This is not complicated at all. The second way to ruin your fellowship is to concern yourself with the fellowship of others. Now, what I'm meaning is, when you look at somebody else and you're concerned about their fellowship with the Father. Matthew 7, verse 1 says, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly, and cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Yeah, good.
So, hear people say, you mean he says he's called to preach, but he done that? She's just a goody-two-shoes, all she is. You ain't got no fellowship. And it's evident when you run your mouth like that, it's evident you don't. Because if you did, you'd pray for him. You wouldn't be critical. Third way to ruin your fellowship, Hebrews 10. This is simple, don't miss it. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another to good works. Here we go. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know, carnal Christians will come up with any and every excuse not to come to church. They love it when they have an excuse not to come to church.
Right.
And if they can't find one, they'll make one. Every time.
Yeah.
A symbol in this verse, it means to come together, to gather into one place. The church house.
Yeah.
To forsake the assembly means you on purpose didn't come to church when you could.
Yeah.
Now, we turn to Luke chapter 14. In verses 1 through 5. 5 is the main verse we'll look at, but we'll read all 5 to build up to it. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? This is where we get the term, my ox is in the ditch.
Yeah.
Well, carnal Christians love this verse because they will, instead of their ox having an accident and falling into the ditch, they will lead their ox to the edge and give it a good push. And then quote Luke 14:5 and feel good about themselves. But when they're doing that, they're warping and abusing God's Word to make them, they're justifying their sin. It's a commandment, forsake not the assembly. So when you put your ox in that ditch on purpose so you can set home or go somewhere, your ox is not in the ditch because of an accident.
Yeah, amen.
You are not right with God. You have no fellowship.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Number 4 way to ruin your fellowship is to don't read your Bible. King James, of course. It's a given around here. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. It says right there, the Word was God. The Word was God, still is God, and always will be God. They are one and the same. So, when you don't read your Bible on a purpose, here's what you're saying. I don't want to hear what you have to say. You're telling God, thanks for writing me your love letter to me, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to talk to me. No fellowship. There's none. You have no fellowship.
You're right.
Okay? Are you hearing me? When you neglect reading the Bible, the King James Bible, see it sitting there? No, I'm good. I'll go do something else. No fellowship. Gone.
You're right. You're right.
Don't want to hear what God has to say.
That's good.
The fifth thing, don't pray. Philippians 4. Says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Well, time out first. Y'all know that we hear from God by His Word, reading His Word, and we talk to God through prayer.
Right.
So, just want to clarify that. So, it says here, let your request be made known unto God. He wants to hear your request. He already knows them, but He wants you to talk to Him. He desires fellowship with you. He wants to hear from you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That is not on your knees all day long, all night long. It could be on your knees. But it could also be, I got to go to work. I'm driving, I'm praying, I'm at work, I'm meditating, keeping them on my mind, keeping them on my heart. So, just keep a spirit of prayer about you. But also, by not praying, you're being stuck up to the Lord.
That is true.
You're saying, I don't want to talk to you.
That's good.
That's what it is.
Yes, it is.
I'm talking about the one that willingly gave His life, suffered, and was crucified.
Amen.
So you could miss hell, so I could miss hell.
Come on,
we could spend with Him in heaven for eternity. I'm talking about the one that every time you spit in His face, turn your back and walk away. That's the one. That's the one. The one that healed the sick, made the cripple walk, raised the dead of Himself. That's the one you're saying, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. Come on.
No fellowship.
Come on.
No, none.
Yeah, thank you,
none at all.
Yeah.
So, first point's how to ruin your fellowship. The second is how to restore your fellowship. Turn to 1 John 1, verse 5. Then this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, you sin, you get dirty, it happens. But you don't have to stay in that condition. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us.
Right.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not.
Yeah.
And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen.
And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, it don't matter. It's for you. He died for every one of us. And you know, sometimes we do get dirty. We do sin. There is iniquity on us.
Sure.
But keep a short leash. Keep a... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't let the dishes pile up to the ceiling. Get one dirty. Wash it.
Yes.
Stay clean with God.
Amen.
Because the sin and the filth, that's what separates us. No fellowship.
Yes, sir.
Kind of with this is I think what the Lord wants. So I'm not apologizing for it, but I'm just explaining. But you know, Jerry sings a song that I'm amazed, and that second verse, it really just kind of sums it all up and wraps it all up about what the Lord does for us, and
yeah,
if we've sinned, and I'm gonna try my best to sing it, and the Lord will forgive you. You just have to let Him. You have to go to Him to be restored. Restore your fellowship. Yes, it's true. There have been days when I failed You. Lord, You know the many times I've gone astray. Oh, but I've learned your love. Well, it's stronger than my weakness. And your ear is open every time that I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. And not a friend has ever been as close to me. Well, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing that you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you cared. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. And my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Don't ever lose your amazement that your sins are washed away. That He died for you, that He saved you, and He's kept you. He got a bum deal when He getting you, and He knew it, and He took you anyways. I'm telling you, He desires for you to be restored. So you and Him can have fellowship. So number one, how to ruin your fellowship. Number two, how to restore your fellowship. Number three, how to ripen your fellowship. How to make things sweet.
Oh, that's good.
And I tell you what, at times it can get pretty sweet. And really, it can be as sweet as you want it to be. So number three, number one, it's kind of a reverse, but you know, in Psalms 122, verse number one, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When you get here, you ought to be glad about it.
Yes, sir.
One of the heroes of this church called me this afternoon, Carolyn, and she called and was crying and was telling me how sorry she was she couldn't be here. That woman's glad when she gets walked through that door.
Yes.
I don't understand people that come. I'm not being harsh, but they come on Sunday morning at 11 because they know they're supposed to. Some might come at 10 because they know they're supposed to. It's Sunday, so-and-so is going to be there. I better be there. I got to go do my part. I ain't got no fellowship. That's why they don't come on Sunday night. That's why when you walk through that door, you can laugh in the hallway and smile. As soon as you cross that doors, you go and sit down.
Amen.
And you sit there dead as a hammer, and I've been guilty of it many a time. When you come into this door on the property, I don't care. You ought to be glad that you got to come. There's people that can't get here and want to come. And we come and just waste what God gives us. I'm not saying you or you, me. I'm guilty. I'm guilty.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm telling you, God didn't save you just for you to come settle on church pew and be miserable. You better enjoy it. Why not enjoy it? And be here and just come. You need to be here every time that the church doors are open to ripen your fellowship. Number two, become addicted to the Bible. Just take his King James Bible and just become addicted to it. Turn to the book of Job. Well, you don't have to. But Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food.
Amen.
Job's saying, I don't even have to have food. Just give me the words. Give me God's word. That's what I want. That's what I desire. Psalm 119, verse 33. Here you read this, and the psalmist, he sounds as if he's wanting to know the Bible more, to know God's word. It says in verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not cover to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way, Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear.
Yeah.
Turn away my reproach when I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. He's longed, he's desiring, he's wanting them.
Yeah.
Quicken me in thy righteousness.
Yeah.
Second way to ripen your fellowship, get to know this book. Get to love it. Third way to ripen your fellowship is to get some callous knees. You got to spend time in prayer.
Yeah.
If your fellowship is going to be sweet, you can't just listen to the Lord out of His Word. You can do that. But if you really want to ripen your fellowship, you'll get on your knees and talk to Him about His Word and what He's showing you.
Yeah.
So Matthew 26, yeah. 38 through 41. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt.
Yeah.
And He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
You know, prayer is not an easy thing. It is a laborious thing at times. But all I know to tell you is just keep talking to the Father, because He's listening. Even when you don't even know what to say, He's listening.
Yeah.
Fourth way to sweeten your fellowship is to, like we've already said, stay clean. Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart.
Yes, sir.
Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
Yes,
just stay clean. Keep the fellowship and make it sweeter and sweeter by drawing closer to Him. And the last thing last way that I put down here to sweeten your fellowship is just praising. Just give Him the praise He deserves the best way you know how. Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. When you spend time in prayer, just doing your work, it don't matter. Just praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. You can't praise Him enough. Just praise the Lord. I'll tell you another thing. You husbands, men, ones that's on live stream, if you want to love your wife and you want to help your wife, here's what you need to do. You need to have sweet fellowship with the Lord. If you have sweet fellowship with the Lord and you're the head of the home next to the Lord, it won't help. There'll be a spirit of fellowship and joy and peace in your home and together. And then you can fellowship with the Lord together and grow together. And wives, it's the same way. It's everything. Boys, look, you don't have to wait till you're my age to start this relationship and fellowship with the Lord. You can start now. I'm telling you, don't wait. Get in your Bible. Pray. So in order to have fellowship, there's one thing you're going to have to do. You must be born again.
Amen.
If you're here lost, church member been faithful for years, I don't care. I was one of them. Think about it.
Come on.
Think about it. The first thing you're going to have to do, if you're ever going to have fellowship, is you're going to have to be saved. You're going to have to be born again.
Yes, amen.
And if you've slipped away and there's no fellowship, I do invite you to come. Is there any invitation? And I'm hoping that we would just have a desire to have fellowship with the Lord. Because
yeah.
He wants our fellowship.
Yeah.
He's not going to be slack on His end of things. So Cheryl, if you'll go to the piano. I just want to invite anyone, whether you need saved, whether you need your fellowship restored, if you've got things in between you and the Lord, things have been dry, won't you come? Don't sit there. If anything else, just come praise Him. He's worthy to be praised. And if you need saved, won't you come and get saved and just ask the Lord to save you. Call upon His name. We'll take a Bible. We'll help you. And just ask Him to save you. He's awful good. He surely is. Father, we sure do thank You this evening. God, thank You that You'd want to fellowship with people like us. God, we're so wicked and just wretches, Father. But thank You so much, God, that You knew what we would become. God, but You desire to be our friend. God, You're so good. God, You're so holy and perfect. Thank You so much for loving me. God, I pray that this church, God, that we would bind together and our homes would bind together. God, that we would have fellowship with You, true fellowship. God, that when we come from the house, we're already clean and we're right there with You and enjoying the sweet fellowship that we can have with You. That when we come, God, that we may praise You and worship You how we ought to. Father, thank You so much. God, bless these people. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.